Good morning. Ooh, I think it's there, yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a lovely sunny morning. It's really fabulous. It's spring, definitely. And it's lovely to welcome to everyone, and special welcome to Steve and Karen, who are here with us, looking very suntanned and being on their travels. Oh, my goodness, they'll have so much to tell us after the service. Wonderful. Lovely to see you. So welcome, everyone. So last day of the Easter holidays for anyone who's got children, back to school tomorrow for them. oh dear. So hopefully we're all enjoying the spring weather and the new leaves and blossoms bursting forth. They are in my garden anyway. So welcome to Helen, who's will be bringing us the word today, and welcome to any visitors, but I don't think we, apart from Stephen Carr, I don't think we have any. Good. So good to see you all. So today we're going to have open mic, which will be sort of just after the first hymns and prayers. So if you have things you want to share, just bear it in mind. And today there's a faith lunch after the service. And all welcome. And tea and coffee after the service as well. And if anyone wants prayer after the service, then perhaps just stay in your seat and people will come and join you and just pray with you. So thank you to everyone who helped with the service, preparing it. Last night, there was the film night. And I haven't been to many, but I came because I'd read the book and I wanted to see the film. So I really enjoyed it. And I've just found out they raised £251 for Mind Jersey. So I think that's a terrific. And I think it's been the whole sort of, are they all there still, the list? Yes. Money that's been raised for different charities over the months is brilliant. So I think congratulations to everybody involved. Because obviously it's a meal as well as the cinema. And next week there won't be a service here. I think there's a notice on the door. But Bethesda and St. Helier Methodist, isn't it? But not here. Okay. So I think we can... Yep, that's good. So we're going to start with a call to worship. All the birthdays. Oh, thank you, thank you. Whispered in my ear there, thank you. Yes, and it's Margaret's birthday on Wednesday. Nearly didn't happen, Margaret. Sorry.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May God's love go with you. Happy birthday to you.
Brilliant. Lovely. So we are starting with our call to worship. Thank you. And it's up there. So if you could respond with the yellow line. Welcome this day to the house of our God.
We are greeted in peace and in love.
Welcome this day to the worship of our Creator.
We worship in hope and with grace.
Welcome this day to our community of faith. Friends, let us worship God together. And let's start with three lovely songs. Well, thank you. I haven't said thank you for choosing such nice songs, but I'm sure you see why. The first is All Heaven Declares.
With the beauty of
And our second hymn is Father in Heaven, How We Love You. Me to say something. Okay, you know what it is. You are the King of Glory. Take your seats. Let us pray. A prayer of praise. Praise to God, who from the birth of time has enriched the world and all its people. Praise to God, whose love is poured out in abundance for each and every one of us. Praise to God, who calls us and guides us as a shepherd to his sheep. Praise to God for unending patience and perseverance. Praise to God for forgiveness and renewal. Praise to God for the world around us, rich and diverse. Praise to God for the community around us, who make us the people we are. Praise to God for the gift of insight and hearts feeling strangely warmed. Praise to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and within us. Praise to God. Praise to God. Amen. And a prayer of thanksgiving. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for dwelling within us, for your comforting presence, your assurance that the path to righteousness and goodness is with you. We thank you for that spark that you ignite within us that assures us of our faith, of our belief in God's being. Servant Jesus, Son of God, we thank you that when you walked the earth, you served those around you. You blessed them. You healed them. You cleansed them. You guided them. You washed their feet. And in accepting their hospitality, you acknowledged their worth. Father God, we thank you that you gave us birth, that you have nurtured and guided, loved and protected us. Our thanks and praise never can fully express the gratitude we owe, but here and now, accept our thanks and praise. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. A prayer of confession. Lord God, we are sorry for the times we take our eyes off you and seek to do things in our own strength. We are sorry for the times we doubt that you can keep us on the straight and narrow. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times we are too quick to form opinions, too quick to judge others, the times we don't give people the benefit of the doubt, or fail to consider what they may be going through. Open our eyes to see, our ears to listen, as you do. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We know that if we are truly sorry, you will allow us to wipe the slate clean and start over again. Thank you that we can bring our burdens to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Open our hearts, Lord, and fill us with your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we can have open mind.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you all again here at Bethlehem today. And how glorious the sun is shining and it is warm in here. Thank you, Doreen, and everyone that's contributed this morning to the service. We're just going to have a reflection. It's a letter to Thomas. Nicknames are often cruel, and yours is no exception. I want to apologise for my part in the name calling and extend my apology on behalf of the church. You, Thomas, were one of the original 12 disciples. Just like the others, you walked alongside Jesus. You listened to his preaching and participated in his miraculous ministry. Just like the others, you were sent out by the risen Christ to begin his church. Yet, while the other apostles got cool nicknames like the Rock or the disciple whom Jesus loved, you got stuck with doubting Thomas. I'm sympathetic to the situation which led to this unfortunate nickname. The man you'd followed for the last 3 years had just been killed. You're not a fool, you know how death works. Few days later, you go out for a few hours, and when you come back, your friends appear to have gone mad. They tell you that Jesus has come to them. They've seen him alive. So you say, prove it. You say that unless you see the nail marks in his hands and the wounds in his side, you will not believe that Jesus has really risen from the dead. Now, Thomas, I know what I'm supposed to say. I'm supposed to say, Thomas, Jesus told you that he was going to rise from the dead. You saw Jesus do amazing things. You should have believed. But just between you and me, that's not what I'm saying. I say, fair enough. I respect your rationality and your need for evidence. People don't just rise from the dead. That would be world-breaking news. If Jesus rose from the dead, nothing would ever be the same again. It would mean death was not the end. The logical position is to remain sceptical until proven otherwise. And you had it proven otherwise. But Jesus refused to let you remain doubting Thomas. He wanted you as believing Thomas, trusting, knowing Thomas. Jesus appeared to your group of friends again, with you in the room this time. He walked right up to you, knowing your heart was full of skepticism, and said, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Your response is why I think your nickname is unfair. If you'd refused Jesus' offer, your nickname would be fitting. But that's not what you said. When Jesus gave evidence that he was the risen Christ, you believed. When Jesus commanded you, stop doubting and believe, you cried out, "My Lord and my God." That is faith, Thomas. You looked at the evidence before you and believed. We're going to sing together, "From Heaven You Came."
Verses 19 till 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thanks be to God for his word.
And the second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
So as you've probably gathered, we're thinking about Thomas mainly this morning. There are plenty of descriptions attached to some of the biblical names. We have Judas Iscariot, or Judas the betrayer, Peter the rock upon which the church was built, John the one whom Jesus loved, and doubting Thomas. Is that a negative description of him, or does that name fit his character in a positive way? I'd like us to consider this morning who Thomas was and what we can learn from him. And also think about our actions going forward from here today. Our gospel reading points to the reason why he was labelled Doubting Thomas, a very, very familiar story. If we only had the first three gospels, the only thing we would know about Thomas is his name. For that's all they tell us. Thomas is often paired with Matthew as one of the 12 disciples that Jesus chose. And he is also called Didymus, which is the Greek word for twin. So obviously Thomas had a twin brother or sister who is never named. So we have to look into the Gospel of John to get an insight into who Thomas is. In John chapter 11, Thomas is mentioned, and we get some real insight into what kind of person he was. It's the story of the raising of Lazarus. Mary and Martha had sent Jesus word that their brother Lazarus was close to death. They lived in the small village of Bethany, very close to Jerusalem. And Jesus tells his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Look at what the disciples think of this idea. "Teacher," the disciples answered, "just a short time ago, people there wanted to stone you, and you're planning to go back?" They thought he was crazy to even consider going back. Perhaps they were on the verge of deserting Jesus. But then it's Thomas who speaks out in verse 16. "Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go along with the teacher so that we may die with him.'" Thomas rallied the wavering disciples, convincing them to go with Jesus back to Jerusalem. So what does that tell us about his character? He certainly wasn't a coward. He was willing to go with Jesus to Jerusalem, knowing full well that it might cost him his own life. Thomas loved Jesus and was loyal to him. Would we have been willing to follow Jesus back to Jerusalem when we knew it might cost us greatly? Can we also see a little pessimism in Thomas? "Let us go along with you so we can die too." Thomas tended to expect the worst. But despite that, what an act of faith and loyalty. Then in John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away to prepare them a room in their father's house. "You know the way that leads to the place where I am going," he says. But notice what Thomas says in verse 5. "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Thomas wasn't afraid of asking questions, even to Jesus when he didn't understand something. Then, as we've heard, the first Easter evening, the disciples had gathered behind locked doors out of fear of the authorities. Suddenly, Jesus is in the room and they see him. But in verse 24, it reads, "One of the 12, Thomas, wasn't with them when Jesus came." The disciples, so excited, rush out and find Thomas. And they use the very same words that Mary and the other women had used. "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas makes that reply which he's become famous for. "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas gets a bad rapport because we think he's the only one who felt this way. But Luke tells us that when the women went to the other disciples and said, "We've seen the Lord," no one believed them. The disciples then thought it was a nonsense. And here in John 20, we see that they did not believe until they'd seen the risen Lord at their side. Then they believed. So Thomas wasn't acting any differently. He was just more upfront and honest and questioning. And then, the week later, the disciples gather again. This time, Thomas is with them. And like before, Jesus appears to them. "Peace be with you." Then Jesus turns to Thomas and offers to allow him to touch his hands and his side. We're not told if Thomas did this, but he fell on his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas openly admitted his doubts. He faced them and worked through them to the greatest confession of faith. The second reading we had today said, "See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him." There's a church in India and a mount called St. Thomas's Mount, where tradition says Thomas was killed while praying. And we don't know if that's true. But such faith, loyalty, courage, and love for Christ would certainly be in keeping with what we know about Thomas. Can you relate to Thomas? I know I can. Thomas asked questions because he wanted to understand. And we all have doubts and questions at times. It's fine to talk with others about them. If we talk with others in the Christian faith and we pray and we study God's word, chances are we may find some answers to our questions. I certainly think sometimes the more I read and study, the more questions I have. But did Jesus turn Thomas away or get cross with him? No. He meets Thomas where he is and helps him to understand and realize the truth of the resurrection. I came out of church on Easter Sunday and turned my phone back on, and I had about 6 messages from my daughter, Sarah. Some of you know her. And she's not backwards at coming forwards, that's for sure. But my messages were, "I'm worshipping with my friend, Michelle." Now, her friend has motor neuron disease, is in a wheelchair, and my daughter doesn't go to church, doesn't worship, doesn't believe. So that was the first statement. "I'm worshipping with my friend, Michelle." Second message, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Next message was a picture of a very evangelical church, choir at the front, big projected screen on the right-hand side. "It's like a gospel choir." Next message. So I looked and I thought, "Oh, my word, hallelujah." I then spoke to her a little while after, and it was a long tale about why she'd taken her friend to church, why she was there. And she said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." I said, "Don't be cheeky. It means something to me. I don't want you to be saying it in the way that it's not meant." And she said to me, but how do you know that Jesus lives, that he's risen from the dead? So she'd been at a very evangelical service. She'd heard people praising the Lord, saying hallelujah. How do we know he lives? And on the spot, the only thing that came to my mind was the very old chorus. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You asked me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That was the only thing I could think of to say. Doubt is a natural part of our faith journeys. If we're doubting, then let's be honest, like Thomas. Let's not hold back in our prayers. We can come to God and pray with our doubts and our fears. He listens and he can help us. There are others that can pray with us to support us and walk us through these very dark valleys of doubt. There'll be times when we struggle with faith, and sometimes God makes us wait. Listening to your open mic, there are times when we're at rock bottom and it goes on and on and on, and we don't feel we're going to be coming out. Those times we may doubt. But God knows what he's doing. Our prayers for people, when prayers are answered, does that warmth of answered prayer show that Jesus is alive? I was privileged to take the service the Wednesday before Good Friday at Georgetown. They have a community coffee morning every week on a Thursday, and it is what it says. It's a community coffee morning. The ladies from church make beautiful cakes, provide coffee and tea. There's probably 40 every week, occasionally nearer 50. And they are people who come in from the street that are lonely. They've all got a story to tell, and we sit and chat. And I was able to do the service after their Lent lunch, and I wanted it to be meaningful for them, because I've got to know them, and I just they're my heartbeat. I actually really, really enjoy being part of that fellowship. And we took it right back to basics about Jesus dying for each one of us. And the questions I was asked after that morning service, and the ones I've remembered to ask me this Thursday, were incredible. Doubt. Ask those questions. We might not have all the answers, and I certainly didn't have all the answers when they came back last week to asking me other questions. But we can try. We can try point them to Jesus. There's no rebuke. There's no guilt. There's no lecture from Jesus on doubting. Jesus met Thomas right where he was and offered himself to Thomas. Here, touch me and believe. I was reading a story about a woman in her 30s who one day had this overwhelming spiritual experience. She knew God was present, and she felt God calling her to do something new and scary. But she felt God so clearly that day that she couldn't deny it. A moment of clarity. It was like Thomas getting to touch Jesus' hand. The young woman did go out, and for the next 50 years she did amazing things. But inside she doubted. She wrestled with her faith. Sometimes she even questioned the existence of God. And her lack of faith bothered her. The other disciples may have called her Doubting Teresa, but you and I know her as Mother Teresa, the woman whose life many call saint-like. You might have looked at her and thought her to be so holy and full of faith, but we've learnt that wasn't the case. She was like each one of us, and like Thomas. Notice how Jesus finishes his encounter with Thomas. You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me, but believe anyway. This is a word of encouragement for us, because we don't get to see Jesus. But one day we will see him face to face. Amen. As a response, we sing together, Be Still and Know That I Am God. With a short time of open prayer, let us pray. Broken and risen Lord, we pray for strength to believe, even though we haven't seen. We ask that you will bless your church and all who try to share the gospel. Broken and risen Lord, we pray for the world you came to save. We pray for the world in which we live that's broken. We pray for all those in areas where there is war at this present time. We pray for all those who are suffering, living in fear of invasion, fear of bullying, fear of pain, and fear of death. Broken and risen Lord, we pray for our neighbours, those who live next door, above or below, those we invite into our homes, those we say good morning to, those we recognise, and those we do not. Lord, we pray for all those who are ill at this time. We ask your healing arms around them. We pray that you will give skill to the doctors and nurses. We thank you for all those who care, friends, family, caring profession, and we ask that you will bring healing and strength to all those who need it. And we pray for those who have been recently bereaved. We ask for your comfort, strength, and blessing. And we have a time of open prayer where people may pray for those on their hearts.
Lord, I pray for
those kept in our hearts. We ask them through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord God, how you fill our lives, Lord God, I simply want to say I love you, Lord. I simply want to say to say I adore you, and I want to live